SAFM Market Update with MoneyWeb. Understanding the markets has never been easier.
Good evening and welcome to this special edition of the SAFM Market Update with MoneyWeb. My name is Sikim Gabadeli. Tonight, we're speaking to the former CEO of Exxaro, Sipho Ngosi. Formerly, he founded ASC's Wacol in 2001 and served as its CEO. He's had an illustrious career working at the Ford Motor Company in South Africa as a market analyst in 1986. After 6 years there, he moved to Anglo American Coal Corporation as a marketing coordinator in 1992, joining Southern Life Association as a senior manager for strategic planning. He's worked in various capacities for many different organizations and has previously been president of the Chamber of Mines of South Africa. And he is my guest today. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, ma'am, for inviting me.
I mean, who have you not worked for after that list of companies?
It's quite interesting. I worked for the motor industry, the insurance industry, and from then I migrated to the mining sector.
Yeah.
And then went into heavy engineering, which is ABB and Alstom, and then back into mining. So that's been the
cross sector as well.
Indeed.
What happened? Why is that? Was it because you were always interested in that, or was it kind of an opportunity comes up and you can't say no to it?
Well, the first one, I was just enjoying the job. Of course, I got retrenched in the process, so I was out of a job.
Yeah.
And remember, during those times, we had the Sullivan principles, and there was lots of divestment out of South Africa.
Yes.
And Ford were leaving South Africa at the time.
Yeah.
So that's how it happened the first time around. So, and then I found myself in Boston, in the University of Massachusetts, doing an MBA. And then from then I joined Anglo from Boston. And then, of course, we went on and on and on, and I found myself where I am today. So it's it's not caused by quite a lot of things. I mean, I left, for instance, BHP Billiton, which was Ingwe, and joined ABB because they were migrating to Europe when they were listing offshore and moving. So there were other options, and I joined ABB, which probably served me better, because then it gave me an opportunity of understanding the whole chain, value chain, in terms of the coal processing in South Africa, from mining,
from digging it out,
to processing it and creating and generating power, because we were looking after power stations as ABB and building them.
And what do you think, working across different industries, from motor to insurance to mining to engineering, has actually added to your own body of knowledge as an individual?
Well, there's no experience really which is wasted, in my view. Whatever book you read, at some point it adds something in your life. I guess my first experience in the working environment at Ford was quite interesting, because I became an analyst, and I recall sitting there being challenged to come up with new methods of forecasting.
Yeah.
And of course, I had learned the stuff at school, at university, but there was some kind of a mental block, because the education that I had didn't integrate what I was reading at school and how relevant it was to me into what I was doing practically. So that was an interesting challenge when you looked at others coming from Pretoria University who could just integrate it. And so you had to be probed by someone saying, but you remember the stuff you did? Oh, no, you mean that?
No, I know that.
Then I can apply that. So it just taught me that, for instance, the stuff that you've learned in the past is not something that you should just ignore and poo-poo, because it may come back and help you in your journey. And I mean, working for Anglo, working for BHP Billiton, working for ABB, in the same way, it consolidated the kind of knowledge that I gathered over a period of time, which served me well when we were bidding for the ASC's assets, because then I could talk with authority and knowledge across the board, because I had done strategy, I had done analysis, I had done coal mining, I had done coal processing and how it produces power. So I understood that whole value chain. Yeah. So it was not something new. So it was very good for me.
You mentioned university. Let's go a little bit earlier to growing up and your upbringing. What are your earliest memories?
Well, I remember, and I'm not sure whether people know this, I come from, our family comes from a place called Loosberg, which is outside Freyheit. Mm-hmm. But over the period of time, people were dispersed and kicked out of various places. And my parents found themselves in Nkandla, but not because of that alone, but because my father also loved religion very much, that he started preaching over there. So I found myself there. So, and I was born at Nkandla, fair enough.
Yeah.
So then we migrated back to Freyheit, and which is where I am. So I guess, I mean, as a growing young man, a young boy, the ambitions that you had were probably limited by the experience and the environment
around
at
you.
The time. Mm. There were issues that people would mention to you, like particularly white boys that we grew up with. Like, for instance, why are you going to school? Because I will always be your boss, you know.
Wow.
So, and then that will deter you, and so you sit back and say, so it
what's
doesn't
the point?
Matter whether I work hard, someone will take over. Others would say to you, you know what? You guys will always be working for us, you know that, because you're a cursed people. Don't you remember the story of Shem, Ham, and Japheth in the Bible? That's it. So those are the impressions. And it was quite interesting that during those times, let's early in the 60s, I mean, the ANC was organizing quite a lot around that time as well. I mean, there were guys like Mr. Sixth Street Bengu, who ended up on Robben Island, who was organizing around Nkandla and all those areas. And my brothers got the bug. And of course, you started becoming a little bit more aware of what was going on. And of course, over time, you understood what was going on. So the ambitions of a young person doing whatever they were doing were not there. I mean, I never thought that I would be the CEO one day because it was something. So I also understood that whatever you wanted, you must fight for it. And when you fought for it, you must also understand that you're not doing it for yourself. Firstly, you are deployed to do whatever you're doing for the next generation, and that is the most important thing.
In conversation with the former CEO of Exxaro, Sipho Ngosi, this conversation continuing in a moment.
Sikiem Gabadeli on SAFM.
Welcome back to this special edition of the SAFM Market Update with the MoneyWeb, with me, Sikiem Gabadeli, in conversation with Sipho Ngosi. So as you're growing up then, how did you decide what you wanted to study? And can you take us through your journey through the educational space?
I actually never decided what to study.
Yeah.
My brother, elder brother at home, probably was the first one to go to college and do a matric. So then I realized that there was something called matric. And therefore, he set the standard for us to do matric. And the brother that I come after was the first one to go to University of Zululand to do law. So I said, there's something called a university. So I also have to go to university. So I found myself at university. And at university I go, then I look at this prospectus and look at, what must I do? I can't do what my brother has done. So I'll do a BCom degree. And I ended up enrolling for a BCom degree. And that's how it happened, really.
And that university experience, was that the first time you were away from home?
It was not, because going to do my matric, it was at high school, at a boarding school.
Okay.
So that would have been my first one. But going to university is quite interesting because you're more independent. I wanted to do a BCom, and during those years, doing maths was just not there. And of course, they were saying, you know, you must do mathematics. And therefore, the science faculty had a special program that they created for us. and we had to do maths O, which were you're cramming everything that that was done at high school, so that you could then be admitted and do what you had to do at university, which we did, and yeah, and we were successful in that one as well.
Let's fast forward to the early 90s, right? So at that time, a lot of opportunities opening up for black South Africans. One could go into BE, one could really move up if you were already in a corporate, because black skill, black talent, very sought after. You chose to be an operator and not an investor at that time. Tell us about that and what motivated that.
Probably two things. You know, there were deals that were done on the empowerment side before that. And when you walk through the corridors of business in those days, they would say, you know, these guys are just doing nothing. They're just coming in and being
signing,
part of this. And when I got an opportunity of participating, I said, I've got the knowledge. I have done my time. So I don't think I can fail. Mm. And therefore, I'll prove people wrong. And I chose to be an operator on that basis.
And importantly, because again, I don't think it's fully gone, this doubt.
Yeah.
Of black ability, of how people can actually do the jobs that they have been given. Mm. How much work do you think we still need to do to debunk that assumption?
I have this belief that no matter how hard you try and push people away, people of who are black or people of color, away from the mainstream of the economy, by sheer numbers that we have, we will get there.
And we're here to stay.
It may take a lot longer, but what we need to do is to hone in our skills, get the right knowledge, focus on the things that we want to do. We will get there, whether people like it or not. Mm-hmm. This economy is going nowhere in terms of growth if we cannot get black people, if we cannot get women to do the right things and study. They will take over. Whether people like it or not, that's going to happen. It's a wave that is going to happen. We do the right basics, people will get there.
Mm. And in your journey, in the places that you've worked, you were also president of the Chamber of Mines. And if I remember correctly, one of the things that you'd said that you were quite proud of was the significant reduction, for example, in workplace fatalities, because that had been a big cloud over the mining industry. We know one death, one too many. But that achievement of focusing the industry very closely on reducing fatalities, let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, I mean, put it this way. I mean, people used to die in this industry. Remember, you know, and I always think about when gold was discovered, when diamonds were discovered. I mean, if you just reflect without looking at the stats, go to that hole in Kimberley.
Kimberley. Mm.
Think of how many people could have died there. And no one records them. Mm. And no one recorded them. And look at a number of operations and mines that we have in South Africa. That people were just dying. And therefore, in a way, we need to be very grateful that there were systems put in place, including the emergence of the trade union movement in assisting in that one, because that has helped us a great deal in terms of dealing with safety. I mean, if I go back probably in 2007 or more or less, you probably, or no, before that, we used to kill in the industry probably close to 500 people. Mm-hmm. Last year we recorded 77, which is an improvement. We're starting to be a little bit more arrogant and say, you know what, you're safer in the mining industry than in the larger South Africa, because there's more protection. We focus on safety quite a lot. But yeah, the industry I think has done amazingly. But 77 is quite a lot. It's quite a lot. We still have to work hard, and there's more work going on in the industry in terms of dealing with that.
Other work that's being done in the industry is around labor. relationships that you have with the people that, work on these mines, but also relationships with, communities. How much, what would you say is the current state of those relationships now?
I don't think it's too exciting. I don't think we are there. I think we have made great strides insofar as our employees are concerned. And that continues. It's a journey. We learn every day in terms of how we deal with it. In terms of communities, I think there's a gap that we need to focus on and fill. But having said that, I mean, there's lots of work going on around communities where we operate. Sometimes, you know, we need to sort out policies in terms of how we deal with these things. I mean, you could be in one region or one area. Let's take Witbank, for instance, or Witbank. And there are 8 operations or companies that are there. And each and every one has to comply separately. And you end up duplicating and triplicating stuff that you should not be doing. There's no proper coordination of resources such that they make a meaningful impact. And also, if you look at the gap that, or not the gap, but the distinction between what government must provide and what companies must provide, that's another area that I think we still have to work on.
Sipho Nkosi, former CEO of Exxaro, we're talking to him this evening in this special edition of the SAFM Market Update.
Sikiem Gabadeli on SAFM.
We're continuing our conversation with Sipho Nkosi this evening on this special edition of the SAFM Market Update. Major concerns about jobs right now in the industry. And it is, it's not a localized issue, certainly. There are concerns mining in the mining sector globally. But when you see that these kind of challenges in the sector right now, having been here for a bunch of, you know, a bunch of years, are you worried about it? Do you think that we're dealing with this issue in the right way?
Obviously, I am worried about it because if you have a larger portion of your community not being occupied with something, that lands you or allows you to start thinking of doing other things which probably are not palatable in the life of society. So unemployment is very bad. But having said that, no one wakes up in the morning saying, I'm going to work today to create create employment. You go there to build a business. And with that, people come and work. And there's a motive that makes you do business. And people come in to do that. But you can't just stand up and say, I'm going to go create employment, because you'll fail at some point if you do that. I believe that's, I've never seen that formula work in around the world. So I think it's a big concern.
Yeah.
It's a big concern that young people are not getting employed. But having said so, the industry is changing dramatically. It is changing. I think gone are the days when you would have cheap labor. Gone are the days when people who have not gone to school will in future have an opportunity of working, because you have to compete with the whole world. I mean, if I look at South Africa and look at a company like Rio, for instance, Rio produces, the last year, if you're looking at their stats, they were producing iron ore at $25 FOB cash cost. And we in South Africa were probably in the 50s. And when the price dipped below that, then it became a problem. But you can't compete with these people. And looking at the location of where we are, and looking at where the market is in China, so you've got to be better than the Australians. You've got to be better than any
Canadians
other person in order for you to be competitive. And that on its own challenges you quite a lot, and pushes you to a point where you need to either follow them or do something
Do something different. But then, are we investing enough in training and education? Because if we're going to need a much more higher skilled workforce, the workforce of the future, I'm concerned when I look at the recent Stats SA report that says that our young people today are less educated than they were 20 years ago.
Oh, it's very concerning. It's very concerning. But having said that, there's lots of work going on in the industry. You know, I mean, if you look at many companies, let's take the gold companies, because they have to go deeper than 4 kilometers, they have to look at life differently.
Mm.
And they're doing quite a lot of training and development. And so, I mean, training people even on technologies like in the nanotechnology,
yes,
because that's what is going to help you on that score. I mean, I currently am, we started another small operation to see how we could assist organizations to leapfrog and do better than where they are, so that they compete better. So that talks to things like digitization, talks to all sorts of things, because that's where the world is. And if South Africa's mining industry has to remain relevant, we've got to move that one.
Yes.
So at Talent 10, we're honing those skills and trying to do that one just now.
So you're an employed pensioner?
No, the truth of the matter is I still have a lot of energy in me. And I have seen quite a lot of things in the industry. And I think it is important that we keep these industries alive.
Mm.
Because if you don't do that, we will lag behind in terms of competitiveness. We have a lot of resources in the country. We must find ways of exploiting them. I think that is important.
Let's talk a little bit about Talent 10. I mean, you think you've given us a sense of what it is that you were doing in that space. So is it an investment company? Is it a training? Or what is it?
Well, I mean, the whole thing is about developing South Africa, developing people. So there are areas where we assist in training people, in areas where we think they need to go. That's the big area. But the big focus right now is on ensuring that we help companies reduce costs.
Yeah.
And do work smartly, such that we create an environment, also technologies that you can only find in South Africa, so that the world will come back to South Africa in future and say, how do you do this one? Like we used to hold the yellow jersey in mining before, we need to hold it. So that's the focus, yeah, really, where I am. It's more developmental, more ensuring that we remain a sustainable country.
Your time at Exxaro, what were some of your highlights?
I guess, I mean, every day was a highlight, but, you know, we come from different backgrounds. And what I think was great for me is to see that over a period of time, I think people gelled and we had almost a good culture, one culture. Whereas in the past, there were those that came from the East Coast side and behaved in a particular manner. Others coming from AC side behaving in a particular manner. But in the end, I think we managed to create a strong, focused organization.
And building your own timber in terms of leaders coming through from the organization, how important was that?
That's very important, because that's what that's who we are. If you can't build develop your own timber, you're always going to go outside. And sometimes you think that outside you will get the best, and you'll find that what you've developed inside is probably the best. In my exco, I've been boasting to these guys before I left that, you know, in my exco, I could train and develop 2 CEOs. One is the one now who currently runs Exxaro, and the other one will be running ArcelorMittal. At the same time,
yeah,
because everyone really becomes very good in what they are doing.
When you look at South Africa now, South Africa today, are you hopeful that we're going to get through what we're going through right now? If you look at the economy, you look at poverty, you look at unemployment, and you look at inequality.
I think South Africans are an amazing group, bunch of people. South Africans are great. You may think that we are muddling along and we're doing things, we're failing in a lot of ways, but something happens in the mind of a South African and we change. I'm so hopeful. I just think that we as a country are very blessed with the kinds of people that we have. We will force the country to change and focus on things that ought to be focused on.
Mm.
There's no doubt about it. So I'm very hopeful. I'm very, very grateful to be in South Africa. But the other thing is that, you know, if I lived in another country, I don't think it would be as exciting as it is in South Africa.
Every day is different.
Yeah.
We'll leave it there. Thanks for your time today. And that brings us to the end of this edition of the SAFM Market Update with Moneyweb. We're back with you tomorrow. Bye-bye.